Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 6. I'll be reading a few verses of Scripture in just a moment, but before I do, I would like to give you a little bit of a summary of the chapter that is before us today. I feel like in order for us to understand it, we need to know what is taking place before the actual verses that I'm going to share with you for the message today. Luke chapter number 6, and I'll read my text in a little bit, but let me just begin by saying, and if you have a pencil, you may want to jot some of this stuff down. I'm not going to take time to read all these verses. We would be here for a while, but I'm just going to give you the verses to where it is. But we find here Jesus is speaking to many of his disciples as well as those that were following him. There was multitudes that was desiring to hear what he said, and they were following him everywhere. And so what he does is literally he begins to teach them. This passage of Scripture has often been referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. We talk about the Sermon on the Mount, but this is called the Sermon on the Plain. But here he is with all these people gathered around teaching them the Word of God. Why do we come to church? It's in order that we might know, understand, and learn the Word of God. I hope you're here for that today. There's no other reason why we should be here other than to come together to hear God's Word, allow God to speak to our heart and to work in our life. So quickly, let me just give you a rundown on these verses. If you write them down, you can write the verses down. If not, you can just listen. But in verses 20 through 23, we're not going to read them, but we find in Luke chapter number 6, into verses 20 through 23, that Jesus described the blessedness of his people even in the midst of a terrible persecution and intense suffering. God was reminding them of his blessings upon them in spite of what's going on. And boy, how we need that today. In verses 24 through 26, Jesus pronounces woes upon those who are comfortable in the world. They are told that they can expect to meet the judgment of God in the end. A lot of people live as if there's never going to be a day of reconciliation, or not a reconciliation. The day of reconciliation is today, but a day when we stand before God and give an account of the things we did. And if you go back and read those verses I just described in verses 24 through 26, you'll see that he says, woe, many times. And friend, today the seriousness of serving God is serious business, and there are consequences. In fact, we know today, lost, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we know that either you go to heaven if you're saved, or you go to hell if you're lost. And yet there's consequences that come. In verses 27 through 36, Jesus again addresses his people and tells them, listen, that they're to love their enemies, to be kind to those that hate them, patiently endure persecution, and they that are called to the faith, and give to those who are around who are in need. So here we find Jesus is talking about several things. He's describing the blessedness of being there with them when they need him. He talks about the woe and the judgment that's going to come upon those that disobey God, refuse to accept God. In verses 27 through 36, he tells us what we need to do. Love your enemies. How hard is that? It would be very difficult in this world we live in to love the enemies. It doesn't make sense. But according to the Word of God, we were enemies of God before he saved us. And the Bible said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In verses 37 and 38, Jesus tells his people they're not to be judgmental. You know, today it's so easy for us to judge others. And really, when we come to the house of God, we're not to look around and try to figure out what everybody else needs. We ought to come to the house of God today with the prayer on our lips. Lord, show me what I need today so that God may speak to your heart and your life may be changed when you leave. In verses 39 through 45, Jesus warns them against false teachers. And can I tell you today, there are many, many false teachers out there today that are out there to lead you away from the truth of the Word of God. So saying all that, and that's a sermon within itself, I could have probably preached a couple out of that, but we find that here's Jesus teaching them what they need to do. So that brings us to our text today, and I think you'll understand the title of the message is The Moment of Truth. One day, the Bible said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's come to the point, he's told them what he expects, he's told them what he'll do, but now he's going to ask them to question about what they're going to do and their relationship with him. Will they follow him? Will they be saved? Or will they continue in the way they are in their dead religion, walking away from God and the things of God? And so the truth is, the moment of truth is one day coming, and I believe coming soon. I believe that every one of us is going to stand before God one day. He's going to say to those who are saved, enter in. But to those who are lost, he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Sorry, I never knew you. So if you have your Bible, quickly, let's look at the text, verse 46. And here he asks the question. Now remember, thinking what I just told you, that he told them they needed to do, he said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that is without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together once again to open your word. Father, these are some sobering words that we just read today. The question that we asked to the congregation, that he asked to the multitude that day, is why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. Lord, help us today to be obedient in our life, to be faithful to you in everything we do. May your name be exalted today and lifted up, and we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, amen. Now that's a sobering question. I'm not going to spend a lot of time right here on it, although I just will emphasize it. He said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, to think about this, by this time, Jesus has begun to teach. He has a great following. The people there, many of them perhaps maybe were saved, but there were many that had never come to realization. They was following him because they knew that he had power to heal the sick, raise the dead, make the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And those things attract people, don't it? When you can see something like that happen, it attracts us to. But these people literally knew him and who he was, but they really, many of them, did not know him in all reality, and yet they called him Lord, Lord. The word Lord means one who rules or exercises authority over others. But they tell me when you say Lord, Lord, it's got a little bit of a different meaning. It refers to those who exercise supernatural authority over mankind. And boy, today I like that song, Our God Reigns. Our God reigns and rules over each and every one of us every day that we live, as we walk and we live in this life. So it's an intense affirmation of their allegiance to Jesus and his in their lives. That they say unto him, they're calling him, they're giving him the authority, they're basically allowing him to be the Lord of their life. However, many were saying that, but in all reality were not practicing that or allowing it to happen. Despite their professions and claims, many of them were falling short of really being saved by the grace of God. I think we live in a day, and again, I want you to understand, salvation is one of the simplest things that I've ever done in my life. It was hearing the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Yeah, I bowed my head, I prayed, I confessed my sin, asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me, and he gave me eternal life. However, today, there's a lot of people that have this easy believism thing, and they think that, well, if that's what you do, then you're saved. And if that's what you do, you are saved if you literally mean it and obey it. But I want you to know, God doesn't charge us anything to be saved, but he does require some things. And I want you to listen to the passage of Scripture as we go through it today, because he continues to talk about, you call him Lord, Lord, but yet you're not doing the things that he tells you to do. And he even talks about it, and you'll see another Scripture that I'll give in just a moment. But many of the Lord's followers were lost. And literally, they had become hypocrites because they literally were believing and seeing, but they had never trusted him as their Savior. Being a child of God is non-negotiable. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus said in John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, now listen, this is the Bible. This is not my theology. This is the Bible. He said, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, you can take it however you want, but I'm just taking it at his word and what he said. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll keep my words. You'll obey them. Not to say that we all don't fail from time to time. Sometimes God has to chasten us and get our attention to bring us back where we need to be. And I understand that. But for us to continue on away from God and away from things of God, we're not obeying and doing what God said. And a real child of God becomes a new creature. When Christ comes in, he dwells inside of them, and he lives there forever. In 1 John 5:3, listen what it says. For this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. It's not hard to serve God if you're a child of God. If you're going to heaven, you ought to love God. You ought to be privileged. Listen, the joy of being, and by the way, thank you, choir, for a wonderful song this morning. And what a blessing to serve God and to enjoy the benefit and the blessings of being a part of what God has saved us to. And that's to be doers of the word and allowing him to work in our life. On the other hand, there's those who do not obey the Lord, and they're not his people. The Bible said in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Somebody said, why do we have to come to church so much? It's where you'll be reminded of the fact that one day we will give an account of our lives, what we've done, and the responsibility we have. Listen to this, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Friend, how can you get away from the fact? We're not saved by works. If we were, listen, we'd be telling you a whole different thing. We're not saved by works. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But the Bible said when we get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, something happens to us. We become new. Our desires, our wishes, everything we do becomes new, or it should come to you, because we ought to love the Lord with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. But he said, not everybody said, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I quoted it a while ago, but in James 1:22, he said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I'm sorry, Desmond, back there, I messed you up, but I've already given my first point. I'm halfway through it now. But the inquiry, go ahead. I'm sorry, I skipped all over that and didn't mean to. But the inquiry that is given. So why is it so important? Why do these things matter? Because God does not want us to come and profess with our lips, but he wants us to profess with our heart. Everybody can come in and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But literally, if we really love Jesus, there'll be some outward expression in our service to him for what he's done. You see, biblical salvation rests on three absolute truths. Here it is. The three absolute truths. First of all, in order to be saved, there must be confession of sin. I've quoted a while ago that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Coming to the point, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. We was born sinners. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And when they sinned in the garden, the Bible said, wherefore is by one man's sin entered into the world, and death was sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I tell you today, there's a lot of people who don't want to admit their sin. But if you're going to be saved by the grace of God, you have to confess your sin. And then repentance from sin. The word repentance means turning away and going a different direction. Friend, when we get saved, listen, I worry about people that make professions, and then just for a little bit, they seem to be going pretty good, but then they depart and never seem to get back to that place of being what they need to be. You see, a genuine conversion experience will make us have a desire. And again, I'm not talking about not backsliding. I know people backsliding. I know God's brought plenty of people back to God, and I'm grateful for that. I understand that. But I'm talking about in general. Boy, we ought to be looking for ways to serve God. We ought to be, as a congregation, trying to exalt his name, passing out tracts, witnessing, telling people what the things about us. The repentance, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation. So those who fail in all these things, they fail in doing what needs to be done. Repentance is turning away from sin and going toward God. And then salvation is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Somebody said that's too easy. You see, being a child of God is not an easy thing. It doesn't mean your life's going to be. You know, a lot of people say, boy, I'm going to get saved and I'll never have another problem. Oh, probably quite the opposite. Because you'll have problems. And the reason you'll have problems is because God's trying to teach you how to trust him. He's trying to teach you how to get closer to His Word. He's trying to teach you some things that He was trying to teach these people for them to understand. Listen, if you're genuinely born again, there will be some changes in your life. There will be actions that will demonstrate that Christ lives inside of you. And then He gives a wonderful illustration, and that moves me to my second point today. Consider the illustration that He gives. Jesus closes the sermon with an unforgettable illustration that is given. We find that in verses 47 through 49. But He talks about, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you who he is like." Now, he that cometh to me, heareth my sayings, doeth them, I will show you who he's like. Who is he like? He's like a man in verse 48. He's like a man which built a house. He digged deep. He laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. I tell you, when you're saved, you need to get grounded and founded on the rock. And I tell you, when the winds come and the waves go, I'm going to say something in just a minute, but I want you to understand here, what he's saying is, when you build your life around God, there's fruit in your life where you obey the Word of God and do what the Word of God says, then it's going to be some evidence, and you're on a strong foundation. I look out today and see so many of you people been saved for a long time, been serving the Lord. You're so faithful. You just know that every time the doors are open, if you're not sick, you're going to be here. I tell you, you love God, and you're serving God and faithful to God. Listen, you're strong. You're connected to the rock. Everything, listen, when the times come and they get rough, and they will, and they have, you will be able to stand because you built on a firm foundation. Jesus said in verse 47, "Whosoever comes to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you who he is like." So God expects us not only to be saved, but he expects us to do. To do. Now, does that save us? No. But it sure reflects the decision that's made in our heart whether we've trusted Christ or not. Jesus gives us three essential elements which mark a true disciple, and I'm going to give them to you quickly this morning. First of all, true believers come to Jesus. True salvation and discipleship always begins with coming to Christ. Friend, today, I've talked to people before, and I said, "Do you think you're saved? Have you ever been a time when you trusted Christ?" And you said, "Well, I think I have." Friend, let me tell you something. If you meet Jesus, you won't think you have. When you meet Jesus, you'll know that you met Him. And when you know that you met Him, you have to seek Him. You know, it's something hard about, I know many people, in fact, most people don't even get saved at church. Many people get saved on the job, some co-worker witnessing to them, or they get saved in the home. Somebody goes by and sees them and tells them what the Bible said about being saved, and they may feel more comfortable in that. But in doing that, when that person gets saved, they need to make a public profession of faith the next time they go to the house of God. He said, "Those that confess me before my Father which is in heaven, I'll confess them before my Father which is in heaven." I'm getting a little backwards. But he said, "Him that will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." In other words, you know what he's saying? If you're genuinely saved, you'll not be ashamed to walk down an aisle if you need be and let folks know you've been saved by the grace of God. Get in that baptism water, which does not do a thing to save your soul. It only is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and lets people know that you've been born again. Are you ashamed of God? Surely you're not. So if you're not and you're saved, let's let the whole world know that we've been born again by the Spirit of God. True followers come to Christ. Now, here Jesus has a great multitude of people following him. Many of them were his disciples, but many of them were just along for the ride. They were enjoying the things that was transpiring and taking place. And so he come to the point to where he had to pop the question to them as to why they called him Lord and did not the things that he did. You know, say, how do you come to Christ? Well, you know, the best place is come to the house of God, because the house of God gives you an opportunity to come to Christ. I never try to preach without preaching salvation and tell people they need to be born again. Friend, today, if I had any inkling that anybody in this building today was lost, it would just break my heart for you to leave here today without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Friend, it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's something to be thankful for. But when we come to the house of God, we come in order that we might obey God and hear God. We come to the house of God so we get fed. The Bible said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I tell you today, I'm grateful. They steal a lot. I don't know. But I tell you what, I know a whole lot more today than I did about 45 years ago. And I'm grateful for what God has done to help me to understand the Word of God. When I go to the house of God, I enjoy going to the house of God because I get fed. Well, we ate on Thursday, didn't we? But we was eating the wrong food, not the kind that's going to get us. But we come to church. Listen, church, the preaching of the Word of God ought to be better than any Thanksgiving feast. It ought to be better than any Christmas banquet we have. It ought to be to come to get fed. And when we get fed, what do? We get encouraged. I tell you today, it's easy to get discouraged in a discouraging world. But when you come to the house of God, to be around God's people, to see people that are eager to serve God, to sing the praise of God, to enjoy the blessings of God, we see that we're encouraged in the things of God. But then we're challenged when we come to the house of God. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm trying to challenge you to examine your heart. Ask yourself the question, have I born again? And by the way, I believe if you've been saved, you'll know when you got saved. I believe it's a personal thing. And by the way, somebody said, well, I thought one time that I asked Jesus in my heart. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. In other words, there's one time I believe you need to pray. I'm not saying that you're not saved if you don't. But I tell you, I love to hear when I'm dealing with somebody, I want to hear them in their words pray and ask Jesus to forgive them their sin and come to their heart and save them, because the Word of God teaches us that. Being challenged, the people had gathered, they gathered to hear Jesus preach. And I'm going to tell you something, that's the trait of the people of the Almighty God. Do you know there's no churchless disciples? I believe the Bible makes it plain in Hebrews 10:25, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. A disciple is one who learns and obeys and follows. Number two, true followers hear Jesus. Hear Jesus. I know some people sometimes talk about hearing Jesus. I don't believe that Jesus speaks to us in visions. You may have had a dream or something. I don't know, but God's never spoke to me in a vision. But He sure has spoke to me through the pages of the Word of God. He's impressed upon my heart many times things that I need to do. And I'm going to tell you something. When we come to Jesus, we're enabled to be able to hear Him speak. Somebody said, well, God ain't spoke to me. Well, when was the last time you went to church so God could speak to you? When was the last time you read your Bible so God could speak to you? You see, God can only speak to you if you're listening. And what we need to do as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ is to listen when He gives that still, small voice and tells us what He wants us to know. Perhaps many of these people that day were not hearing what He said. Perhaps as they listened, they just wasn't quite getting it, you know, over to them. You know, today is so discouraging, and I don't have a problem here. I appreciate this congregation. I've never had much of a problem with people not listening. But I have preached in places where sometimes it's quite annoying to try to pour your heart out from the Word of God. And people be talking and laughing and passing notes. And I'm not saying, I have nothing in mind, so don't start looking around trying to figure out who I'm talking about, because I ain't talking about nobody this morning. I haven't seen anybody a long time doing that. And you're pretty good company, because I have a hard time seeing anyway, so I shouldn't have told you that. But the fact of it is, it's a little annoying. It's kind of like when you get on the plane. And I remember when I started flying a little bit, I was nervous. And I remember when they'd give the safety instructions, it used to make me mad because I was trying to listen and everybody else around me was acting like nothing else. They was putting their bags up over the thing and they was looking at their telephone and they was doing all kind of things. And I couldn't hear what they said. You know why? Because they've heard it so much, they just got used to it. They didn't need to hear it anymore. But I'm going to tell you today, we still need to hear what God has to say from His words. And we need to listen every chance we get. If we intend to get anything when we visit church, we got to come expecting something. I tell you today, I've had people go out the door and say, and literally through the years, I've had some people go out the door and said, I didn't like that message. I said, okay. And about five people later, somebody come out and said, preacher, God smote my heart this morning. That's the only thing keeps me going. Because I'm going to tell you, and I don't have a lot of complaints. I know you probably keep them to yourself, but that's all right. But you know what? If I can just help one person, that's what I'm here to do, to try to be a blessing any way I can. So we don't listen. So many people today are not listening to God. They're listening to the world, the things of the world, and we're getting turned away from it. And we don't listen when we come to church. It's so important that our whole goal is to listen to what God said. But we understand it because 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Can I say this? And I'm not trying to be ugly, but I know people that I talk to quite often, and sometimes they'll come here and they comment, they said, "Well, I'm glad you still preach the gospel. Is there anything else to preach?" Oh, I know there's plenty to preach. But friend, today, if they don't get the gospel, if they don't get saved, they're not going to understand the truth. If they don't obey God, if they don't become His disciple, if they don't walk in a way that He's prepared for them to walk, what is it profit in our time in church if we don't learn and listen? Friend, when we come, I'm encouraged so many times after church is over, and they'll say in junior church, they'll name this one. This one answered all the questions today, and this one knew this answer. This one knew that answer. Listen, that's encouraging. I don't want them to come to church just to come to church. I want them to hear the truth of the Word of God. I want them to understand what's being taught them. Come prepared to listen. And by the way, listening is hard work. Make up your mind to pay attention. And when you find your mind drifting to another location, dial it back in and bring it back to the Word of God. Keep your Bible in your lap. Follow along with the Scripture and allow God. And if necessary, even take notes. That'll help you more than anything to hear the Word of God. Learn the discipline of reflection and application. Think about what you heard and meditate on it. So come to Jesus. Then when you come to Jesus, listen to Jesus. Let Jesus speak to your heart. And then, I didn't say this, it's what the Bible said. True followers obey Jesus. Boy, there's so much in the Bible, it's astonishing. After you come to Jesus and hear His Word, the next step is obeying. We quoted that verse a while ago, "Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only." And truly, that's so important in our life. But when we hear the Word of God, don't forget it. I tell you, sometimes we can walk out of the building, we can get to the restaurant. Somebody said, "What did the preacher preach on this morning?" Wish I hadn't asked that. He done forgot. Friend, we don't come to forget. We come to hear. We come to apply in our lives to do what God would have us to do. So in this sermon, Jesus calls the people to God to live in all those verses prior to our text. He was exhorting them to live a life of supernatural love, of supernatural mercy, of supernatural discernment regarding false teachers. The true disciple of God takes the Word of God seriously. I'm going to tell you, I've been in the ministry for 45 years, and I'm grateful for it, but I'm going to tell you, I can honestly say I'm a God-fearing man. I don't say that to boast. I just say that to know that my God is real. And after He gets through explaining to them what He expects of them, I believe He put this here so we'd know what He expects of us. And then I think He put this other in here for our text today for us to say, why do we call Him Lord, Lord, and don't do the things we do? You know, today we live in a day and age, you ask somebody, say, ever been saved? Everybody's been saved. Just ask them. But when you start trying to zero in on how they got saved, and they really don't even know. You know what? Because they've never been born again. They've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. He comes to hear Him. He comes to obey Him. And what He does is He builds His life upon a foundation. He builds His family. Friend, I tell you what. Our families are only going to be as strong as we are as Christians. I'm telling you, if we're not doing what God wants us to do, don't expect your children to do what God wants you to do. Because I'm going to tell you what, you're the idol of their eye. They're watching you. And I tell you today, a parent has a grave responsibility to set an example for their children. Because I'm telling you, things are getting bad. And I believe today, if we don't have some Christians rise up and teach and train and set examples, we're going to be in dear trouble. Now, let me just tell you this right quick. Let me see where I'm at with it. In verse number 48, he said, he is like a man. I'll not read it all again, but it's basically talking about a man. He digs deep. He gets a good foundation. And he talks about when the stream beat vehemently upon the house and it could not shake it. You said, yeah, that's a good verse. I'm going to preach on that when the storms come. He ain't talking about a storm here. He said, I'm going to preach on that when I start talking about when the winds of time come. He's not talking about that here. Now, there's other places that I believe we can apply that. And you could preach that if you want to. I'm not saying it'd be wrong to do it. He's talking about the judgment of God. That's what he's talking about. He said, listen, you might not be quite so deep, and the storm might save your house. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to survive the judgment of God upon your life, you better be sure your foundation is deep and that you've been saved by the grace of God. A lot of people say, yeah, that keeps me when the storms come. No, that's what's going to keep you when the judgment of God comes and the wrath of God falls upon those who refuse him. He's not talking about late bills. He's not talking about physical problems. He's not referencing trials and troubles of life. He's talking about something way more serious. And that's one day we're going to stand before God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. People talk about getting nervous about things. I get nervous when I do a funeral, especially people I don't know. And when I preach out, and I still get nervous here from time to time. And I want to get nervous. I want to always understand when I stand here, there's a grave responsibility that has to come out of my mouth. But what I find today is when I'm doing that, I'm trying to be obedient to God, give the word of God, be faithful in all that I do, and know that if I built upon the rock, he's going to give me the strength I need to get through it. The doers of the word will withstand the fires of judgment, and they will reign with Jesus forever. Listen to what it said in 2 Corinthians 5:21. There's therefore now no condemnation which them which are in Christ Jesus. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who reject the word of God will face the judgment of God, plain and simple. I wish today, listen, I don't desire anybody to suffer the judgment of God. I can't stand the thought of anybody spending eternity in hell. But friend, what I can tell you today is you don't have to. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There's only two houses that can be built. What did he say about verse 49? But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation. He built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Friend, I tell you today, I want my house to stand the test of time, but I want to stand the judgment of God to know that I've been saved by the grace of God and I'm on my way to heaven. This house was utterly destroyed. The Bible said in John 6:28-29, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? That's a good question. You might want to write that verse down. John 8:28. What should we do that we might work the works of God? What's it going to take to get us to get busy serving God? Jesus answered in verse 29 and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. But when you believe, you'll become a doer because you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. I ask you today, what kind of house are you building? I ask you today, where will you spend eternity? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I wouldn't take nothing for years ago walking down an aisle. I got saved in church. I walked down an aisle and the preacher, Brother Cham, took the Bible and showed me what to do to be saved. I have not been perfect. My life has not been everything that I wished it had been. And I tell you today, there's many things that I have regrets about. But there's one thing I know. I know what Paul knows. He said, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm just telling you today, and I'm going to give you the simple facts, and I'm going to be done. But here's what he's saying. If you're saved, there's a change. And if there's a change, there'll be works to show forth. And he constantly, all through the Word of God, talks about what he'll do if we do the works when he saves us that God's called us to do. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity and the privilege. So easy to get caught up with everything that we think that our sweet, loving God, which he is, just really don't look at us except he just loves us and he died for us and he just wants us to pray and ask him to come in our heart and Savior. No, Jesus is looking for people that believe in him. He said, if you believe in me, you'll keep my commandments. Lord, this morning, I don't know what the situation is. I don't know what people's heart is. But I pray today that you'd speak to their hearts. Lord, may no one leave this building today without putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, save some soul today. Encourage some Christian. And help those of us who are saved to be more determined to work for you than we ever have before. In Jesus' name.